The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's 12 noon where we are, Central Time, here on this Thursday, whose child has far to go. Welcome back to the show for hour number two. And, of course, with this latest conviction of who many people think is still President Trump, and Putin calling the legal system in this country a sham, which is pretty much what he said, one has to wonder about how President Trump, during his entire first administration, how he could let deep state and the federal bureaucracy screw him over, which they did. And it's like he was getting advice from all the wrong people, including Operation Warp Speed and God knows what else. A lot of bad moves out there. So to that end, Mark Moyer joins us. His website is markmoyar.com, markmoyar.com. He has written a book called Masters of Corruption, How the Federal Bureaucracy Sabotaged the Trump Presidency. He holds the William P. Harris Chair in Military History at Hillsdale College. That's a reputable institution. You want to send your kids someplace that, you know, is worth sending them to, rather than one of these Ivy League moron generating schools. His past academic appointments include the Kim T. Adamson Chair of Insurgency and Terrorism at the U.S. Marine Corps University and fellowships at the Joint Special Ops University and Texas A&M. During the Trump administration, he served in the U.S. Agency for International Development as the director of the Office of Civilian Military Cooperation. Wow, USAID. Ouch. Not connected with the same bunch as Fauci, but I mean, that was the international outreach. I'll get some clarification on that. Mark Moyer, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be with you, and thanks for the kind words about Hillsdale. We're always looking for sharp young minds to educate.
Well, yeah, and I know. It's all these people that are homeschooling, if they really are looking for something, futuristic, and I use that word as far as talking about your past secondary education, you want to go to some place that's reputable. I knew of Hillsdale College, not as much as College of the Ozarks, but I knew of Hillsdale College. So, I mean, there are a few good places out there. So, USAID. They were international outreach. What was their, what was their function? Because I think sometimes, considering the fact that you were involved with them, did they get a bad rap, or have they gotten a bad rap?
Well, they've been the subject of a seesaw between Republicans and Democrats. And usually what happens is when the Democrats are in power, they see its primary mission as being putting an end to global poverty. Now, when Republicans are in charge and when the Trump administration took charge, we said, well, actually, the purpose of this is to support American national interests. And that sometimes maybe that can involve dealing with poverty, but this is a taxpayer-funded arm of the government. And so there are some things you can do with international development and humanitarian assistance that serve the national interest. But that was one of the main problems we ran into. And the book tells a story about how Trump appointees like me butted heads with a career bureaucracy that had overwhelmingly voted against Trump.
See, that's the thing, because you were director of the Office of Civilian Military Cooperation. To me, this kind of, in a way, and I like to get into these things because I majored in poli-sci and journalism in college. The thing is, I'm looking at this going, okay, Mark, here we got a situation, civilian military. It's like I'm trying to avoid playing world cop. And yes, this adage about wanting to spread our capitalism around the world and spread our constitutional republic around the world and to the democracy for which it stands. They're using the D word. And this is another problem politically that we have, because they want to spread this word democracy, which is comes right back to what you just said about politics in government. That's a problem, isn't it?
Yes. And you know, as we've seen before, it wasn't just pushing democracy, because even, you know, some countries have been adopted. But then the agency when I was there, and this is another big sore point, is, we saw, under Barack Obama, this took on new proportions, where he wanted to go to these countries that get our aid and lecture them about how they need to adopt gay marriage and other radical social change. And it was just a waste of our money. Of course, it didn't really go over well with most of these countries either.
Yeah. And I mean, what there are countries over there that literally the kid gets a shot in the arm and then they go cut his arm off. This is just nuts. And see, the Fauci's and all these other people out there, the AMA and everybody else, the NGOs got their hands in this stuff. Gates has his hands in this. They all want to go on this worldwide vaccination program so they literally can sterilize every kid out there so we reduce the world population. Have you ever run into the depopulation mechanism within government?
I have not. I did not work. There's a whole bureau called the Bureau for Global Health. I was actually fired based on spurious allegations from the government, from bureaucrats prior to COVID. And COVID, USAID had a big role in COVID, and there was a lot of very poor mismanagement. And that's one of the things I saw, is you have, in addition to corruption, you just have people who are highly ineffective, partly because, good people get discouraged from going into government because it's bureaucratic and there's a lot of toxic people. And then also they don't have a very good system for picking out who actually is leaders. Sometimes it's people who may be a technical expert, but people who are technical experts are oftentimes not any good at being managers.
So this book, which I find interesting, folks, if you really want to get into detail, you read works from someone who's been on the inside, all right? Mark has been on the inside. He understands what's going on, which is one of the reasons why we had him on the show. So you get all these different federal agencies that basically have people working for them that were not elected by we the people. They pretty much do what they want. They have their own agendas. They are manipulated by money. They're manipulated by power. And this whole thing, and I've always said that Trump relied on the wrong people when he put out Operation Warp Speed, and they got in his head and they fed his ego, and he patted himself on the back the whole time. And I'm still waiting for him to walk this back and say, you know what? I'm not going to make the same mistake again. I'm not going to let him manipulate me into making bad decisions and telling everybody go to get the jab and lock down for 2 weeks. I mean, Birx has already revealed in her book that she made it all up. So did Fauci. I mean, now he's coming in and telling everybody in all these committee hearings that, we really didn't have any scientific basis for any of this stuff. I mean, you believe they lied to Trump about all this?
I think, yes, certainly some people did lie to Trump about COVID and the handling of that. The broader point you make is really central to the story I tell, because it's about how you had some of the wrong political appointees in our agency, and we've seen it in other places with people like Rex Tillerson and James Mattis, for example. You had the wrong people put into senior positions, and then they obstructed what the White House wanted to do. And in my case, they also colluded directly with some of the career bureaucrats. And the career bureaucrats are excellent in manipulating political appointees who are not careful, because they have all these connections with the moneyed interests in Washington. And so they can tell them, if you do what I want, I can help you get a really nice job after the administration's over. And so there were too many people like that in the last administration.
The revolving door. Exactly. It's just like the SEC and Wall Street. It's just like, that's only one prime example that I'm very familiar with. Otherwise, Gretchen Morgenson wouldn't have written that book. So, I mean, you've studied all this stuff. You've seen what's going on. You describe in vivid detail how career federal employees thwarted Trump's effort to drain the swamp. Can you give us some insight on that?
Yeah, so another thing I saw, well, the bureaucrats have all sorts of ways they have to try to push their ideas past the political appointees. So one of the things I saw when I got there was that they had come up with ways to try to lock in spending before Trump and his appointees got on the ground. Because another problem you had was that it took more than a year to staff up a lot of these agencies. I got there in early 2018. And by that time, the bureaucrats were so confident that they knew were in control that they actually didn't bother hiding it. So they would make comments about this. And in one case, at a meeting, which was mostly senior career bureaucrats, they said, "We spent the last weekend talking about assistance to Syria, and we are going to try to make sure that what we're doing there doesn't make it to the White House because they might try to stop us." And so I then reported this to up my chain of command. They appeared not to have done anything, which is, again, the problem. A lot of them were afraid of these bureaucrats, or they were expecting to get favors from them after the fact.
So the thing is if Trump gets back in, he's literally going to have to. But see, Biden is out there trying to do this rope-a-dope thing to get legislation or something passed, or executive order, where he can keep these bureaucrats in play and continue to sabotage future presidents. I'm just wondering, if Trump gets back in, is he going to call on people like you to help him drain the swamp this time and get rid of these bureaucrats? I mean, he may have to go have some of them rounded up and sent to Gitmo in order to get him out, because then you've got to reduce their influence. And then people are going to say, well, that's authoritarian. That's not the kind of rule we want. But the thing is if they're going to continue to cause the problem, and so many Americans are looking at this thing, Mark, and going, look, this government can't be trusted anymore. They're not doing what we, the people, want. They're spending money like a drunken sailor in a strip club. And, you know, what are we supposed to do? What are we, the people? We can't trust them anymore. We have to fend for ourselves. And you wonder why people are stocking up on food, guns, and ammo right now. I mean, this is a national trend. It's not going to stop until this government stops. What's your take?
Well, fortunately, some of the Republicans have learned the lesson of 2016, 2017, and have been preparing for a second Trump administration, and particularly they're identifying people who would be good political appointees. And the Heritage Foundation has a website called Project 2025, and people who might be interested in a second Trump administration can go there and give their information, express interest, and they're screening people carefully, which didn't happen the first time. Also, the America First Policy Institute has programs to prepare for the next administration. And so I think we've got a much better chance this time, because there's going to be years of effort that have been put into figuring out who are the people. And it's, you know, you've got to have talent for one thing, but you've also got to believe in the president's principles, which a lot of people did not. And you've got to be somebody who is willing to take risks to fight the bureaucracy. And, that may mean, too, I think, bringing in more people from outside of D.C., because once people are in D.C., if your whole life revolves around D.C., you're going to be reluctant to rock the boat. In my case, I'm now in Michigan. I was able to escape the swamp after all this. And that's what I would encourage people to do. And that's how the founders conceived of our government, was that people from all over the country would come serve in Washington for a period of time. But then you go back to the real world, and where people are actually living their lives, and you don't want to be tied to this revolving door with all the special interest money and incestuous that we now see.
Well, see, you didn't get rich in D.C., but we got politicians that go there. They get elected for 2 years and spend the next 2 years getting reelected and reelected. They come in and they're making $174,000 a year, or whatever it is they make, and then they leave millionaires. And this is the big problem. I mean, this is what everybody, every talk show host I've talked to, podcasters, I mean, everybody around the country is blasting this, because it's just like a never-ending cycle. And, Congress is probably the biggest part of our problem, not just the bureaucrats, because the bureaucrats, on one hand, you're saying, are out of control, the bureaucrats are actually manipulating Congress. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's part of it. And you know, when I was at the Agency for International Development, the White House wanted to cut the budget for the agency, which I think made sense because there was a lot of bloat and inefficiency and things we didn't need to be doing. But Congress kept voting in more money, including some of the Republicans. And again, a lot of it is they're getting money from lobbyists or special interest groups that are supporting their campaigns. And so it is a huge problem. And you know, we had another instance that's rather shocking from within our own agency. The number two political appointee at Agency for International Development was a woman named Bonnie Glick. And she's actually the one who made the decision to fire me on this, you know, bogus claim of publishing classified information. But she, you know, get this, and this was actually approved by the so-called ethics attorney in the agency. Her husband, and you can look him up, his name's Paul Foldy, he was the leading and still is the leading lobbyist for the international aid industry. So he is the leading lobbyist for the companies that are getting billions of dollars from the agency, while his wife is at the agency, and she's actually obstructing efforts by other Republicans to fix the procurement process so it's not the same mega contractors that are already getting all this money. And so it wasn't until late 2020 that she ends up getting fired. But it took, you know, fortunately, for the first 3 years of the administration, there was not much of an effort made to actually, you know, clean out the bad actors from the political appointee ranks. So you had these efforts in 2020, but of course, by then, there's not much time left to sweep things out.
Yeah, and then, of course, the claims of they stole the election, which everybody's looking down their noses now at the federal election system going, are they going to do this again? We don't know. Mike in Alaska joins us by phone. You're on the phone with Mark Moyer. Mike, what's your question?
Oh, hello, guys. I'm on taking a break down here in Montana. Brady called me about the solar field over there, which I'm an expert at in Kern County because I fought the last one and actually won. But as far as Trump goes, we're very disappointed. Trump hasn't manned up yet. But I think everybody needs to remember he was a Democrat most of his life. So he still has those tendencies to believe that I think vaccines are safe. They've been thought of as safe most of our life. Things are different now, though. We know the truth. But anyway, this solar field, the Aretina solar field, they're giving these guys $10,000 per tree to move them. You can't move a Joshua tree.
No.
Once you touch them, they're gone. They're dead. Well, they also don't mention the desert tortoises out there. $50,000 fine if you pick one up. Anyway.
Yeah, it's in the article, Mark.
What's that?
I said it's in the article that we're putting out on the email blast today. The entire story is there. So, you know, we know what they're doing. This is a problem, and I'm trying to get at the federal bureaucracy and the fact that the federal government has something to do with this as well as the state government, I would assume. Mark Moyer, your comment to that. Thanks for your call, Mike.
Yes. Again, you see, I'm not familiar with this particular case, but one of the things you see is that, especially in climate change, and that was a big thing, too, that people were pushing at USAID, is there's these companies that are making huge amounts of money off of these various climate change initiatives, oftentimes things that don't really make a difference to the climate, as I think the caller suggested. And, you know, I think this, well, certainly the problem you have now is that you have the bureaucracy is in step with the Biden administration because these are the things that Biden is now pushing. So we need a Trump re-election and then we can go back in. But as I said, even if Trump wins, you have to have political appointees who go into the agencies and force these bureaucrats to stop doing what they're doing, because they're not going to do it unless somebody really gets in their face. And you know, the White House doesn't have the time or ability to go do that from the White House.
So you're going to have agents for the White House. I mean, the thing is the first thing that Biden did, everybody knows about it. We talked about it on the show. I even went through the whole list of 44 executive orders that they already had them prepared, ready to go, ready for him to sign on day one, shut down the Keystone Pipeline, put us all in a world of hurt. And they, you know, we're about 30 years behind in technology as far as electric vehicles, solar, the whole garbage. I mean, they don't make stuff that lasts that long, but yet you got these bureaucrats that are enriching themselves. And I'm pretty sure that's what they're doing because they're investing behind the scenes because they get insider tips and Congress is taking advantage of it. Most of these bureaucrats that are lifelong, like Biden, nothing but, you know, political hacks, and they're making money off of the system. I mean, this is all by design, isn't it?
Yes. Another story I tell in the book is that, the agency has an inspector general that's supposed to be watching for corruption. But we have, and this is one example I'll give you. There was a contractor whose wife worked at the agency. Now, if your husband works at a company that does business, you have to disclose that. Well, she didn't disclose that. And she twice sat on panels that awarded $1 million in contracts to this guy. And so somebody somehow complained, but the inspector general comes in and says, okay, yes, she shouldn't have done this. And so, you know, you think, okay, what's the punishment? If this happened in a local government, you know, you probably throw that person in jail.
Oh, big
Instead,
time.
The government official receives, she was forced to undergo remedial ethics training. With things like that, the corruption is not going to stop. It's just going to get worse.
Oh, gee, thanks for the vote of confidence there, Mark. Wow. This is pretty serious stuff out here, folks. I mean, these people are not elected. These people make spending decisions that involve your tax dollars, which is one of the reasons. I mean, from the outside looking in, Mark, I mean, if Trump gets back in, do you see him picking up the phone and calling you and telling that he wants you back in a much stronger role? I mean, do you see that as a potential?
That could happen. I don't want to presume anything on the president's part, but he will, I think he's, you know, learned some of the lessons from the first time and knows who is really going to go to bat for him. It also reminds me, you know, another area that people don't often think about, but that from being in the government, I really paid attention to it, these inspectors general. And it's just actually a massive taxpayer funded network. And many of them are very corrupt. In my case, because after they fired me, I went and filed a whistleblower complaint, and they completely blew me off. And eventually Senator Charles Grassley got involved and told them to do a real investigation, and then they did a half-assed one and still didn't get anywhere. And so and this is a pattern we see at other agencies. One of the very few exceptions, we just had a recent exception, which was somewhat encouraging, was that at the Department of Justice, the inspector general faulted the FBI leadership for suspending security clearances of these FBI whistleblowers who the Justice Department had gone after. And one of them, Marcus Allen, just 2 days ago, had his security clearance restored and received 27 months of back pay. But they did to him what they did to a lot of those who tell the truth, is they suspended his clearance, didn't give him a chance to defend himself. He had no pay, and yet he wasn't even allowed to work while he was awaiting this. So he was, you know, getting $0 and, you know, crippled financially. But in this one case, we had an inspector general who actually did what they were supposed to. But hopefully, I think Trump also will need to fire some of the inspectors general as soon as he gets in.
Wow. This is just really heavy duty stuff, because the thing is if, you know, what Mike was saying earlier is he largely came from a Democratic background. Well, he came from New York. He still has his businesses in New York. New York just waxed them civilly, and now they whacked them criminally, and they're not going to let up. And the Georgia case looks like it's not going anywhere until next year. And what's happening with these other criminal cases, now they're challenging Jack Smith's authority to get there. He's a bureaucrat. Garland is appointed. Garland, I think, is mad because he didn't make it to the Supreme Court. There's a lot of things going on here, but all of this plays into the bureaucratic machine. And I think you're right. I mean, is there a solution that we, the people, can do with the 4 minutes we got left? Can we talk about, you know, what are we, the people, supposed to do about to stop this nonsense?
Yes. Well, I mean, one of the things we, the people, is to get involved, and it can be local government, or it can be in advocacy, or a federal government. I said, you know, people are interested in the Trump administration should go to Project 2025 and register their interest there. Because you know, one thing I tell people is the government's been doing terrible things, but to actually fix it, you have to get some good people in there. So much as we might find it distasteful, we shouldn't just turn our backs on it because it's only going to get worse. So that's one of the biggest things, I think. I think also this Inspector General, which is controlled by Congress ultimately, people need to go to their members of Congress and complain when they see what the Inspector General doing, what's happened to all the whistleblowers. There's been a bunch of whistleblowers lately, especially those who have spoken up about Hunter Biden. They seem to be a particular target. And encourage members of Congress, too, to hold people accountable. And we've seen lately a few people in the House, like Representative Jim Jordan, Representative Comer, who are holding public hearings so we can actually get to the truth, which is good because, a lot of these members of Congress, they become part of the swamp and they go along to get along. But we need people who are demanding the truth and demanding that their members hold people accountable. And also, I think, be accountable for spending, because as you mentioned, the Republicans this past time around were not good on spending. We need something like 1994 or 2010, where you have people in Congress who really actually want to reduce the size of government.
And I believe that those are the good people. But then you've got people out there that don't care about reducing the size of government. They want to make it bigger, and it's mostly because they're of Democratic persuasion. Now, the other thing of late that has gotten the attention of most of we the people is what happened to the Little Rock Airport executive Brian Malinowski and the ATF. And Jordan and everybody else has been up the ATF's butt. They had Stephen Dettelbach in there, and he basically was just hemming and hawing around. And the only thing he admitted to was that one of his agents was wounded in the firefight they got into 57 seconds after they broke in his door and covered up his Ring camera. 57 seconds later, the guy's dead. And then all of a sudden they come out with a rule trying to close the gun show loophole. I mean, to me, a lot of Americans after this little mini Waco they just pulled want the ATF gone. They want the FBI gone. They want the CIA gone. They're sick and tired of being snooped on by the NSA. I mean, see, these are serious things. And you know what happened to Kennedy after he said he was going to abolish the CIA? I mean, you look back on all of what history has taught us. Are these agencies really necessary?
Yes, well, one of the things I learned from my time in the Trump administration is that in these security agencies and law enforcement agencies, oftentimes you have some of the worst and most unethical people. And that's really been disturbing to me because I, tried to get help from these people. And it turns out a lot of them, I name names in the book because these people need to be called out and they need to be held accountable, which is, one of the big problems we have. I think you still need some kind of law enforcement agencies, but you also need accountability. Another really, sad story that I mentioned in the book because it happened and had some relevance to my story. A guy named Jay Abbott, who was at the FBI, received these reports of Larry Nassar molesting young girls, gymnasts, but he tried to get a job with the gymnastics company and sat on the case, obstructed it, and finally got caught, but all that happens is they ask him to retire. I mean, the guy should be thrown in jail for life.
You're right.
For something like that. And they let these guys off the hook.
Mark Moyer, thanks so much. The book is Masters of Corruption, How the Federal Bureaucracy Sabotaged the Trump Presidency. And you can get it if you log in through the guest portal on our website, thepowerhour.com. Mark, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with these words and Matt Vadim. Stay with us.
Educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-8255. 9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on black seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, where we are, and the Epoch Times' Matt Vadim joins us again. He covers the United States Supreme Court, and there has been a lot of things happening this week. He's also the justice correspondent, award-winning investigative journalist, Matt Vadim. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good to be here.
So I know that the buzz where you are has to be huge, given what happened last Thursday and the amount, $200 million-plus dollars that has gone into the Trump campaign ever since he was convicted. What's the buzz on Capitol Hill? What do you know? What do you hear? Regarding Trump's conviction,
it seems to have been the best thing to happen to his campaign in a long time. It's given a big boost, and it's made people who don't even like Trump say that they're going to hold their nose and vote for him. So just because it's the right thing to do, and that we need to not have an out of control justice system, we need to restore the rule of law, and that Trump has been victimized by a weaponized justice system run by the people in power, who
at the moment happen to be Democrats in the places where Trump has been charged, like, for example, in Manhattan, where he was just a few days ago convicted in the of something. I still don't fully understand what he was convicted of, but he was convicted of some kind of a bookkeeping felony that normally politicians never get convicted of. You know, people don't think that what happened was fair, and they're coming to President Trump. Now, whether this will last or not, I don't know. But that's what's happening at the moment, and I think it's given Republicans on Capitol Hill hope that Trump will pull out. And then and of course, it's disconcerting to Republicans who don't like Trump.
Well, the other thing too, yeah, this July 11th date, that's the thing that everybody, I think, is watching. Would that be, you know, be a fair statement? Because they're going to sentence him on that day. If they throw him in jail, I mean, you're talking Banana Republic now times infinity. I mean, what do you think? What's your take on that if they throw him in jail?
Well, leftists and, you know, Democrats really love to overplay their hand. So I wouldn't put it past Judge Marchand to do that. I suspect he will not. I don't think he's totally lost his marbles. You know, it could happen, and that would cause a real meltdown. And as well, I'm not sure what would happen, because Trump is still entitled, President Trump, whether he's president or not, is still entitled to Secret Service protection. So what, in order for the Secret Service to fulfill its mandate, I imagine they would have to go and live there in the jail, in the prison with him, in order to protect him. I don't see how else they could protect him. They're not just going to trust a jailer with one of their protectees. I don't think it works that way. And, you know, when they drew up the statutes that govern the Secret Service, they never anticipated this kind of thing happening. So that's why we're in uncharted territory. But I think it would cause pandemonium. I think it would cause shock around the world. And, you know, it might be enough to guarantee that Trump would be elected, because there's nothing in the Constitution saying you can't run for president from a jail cell. So, but I still don't think it's going to happen. But you know, it could, because lefties don't know when to quit. They don't know when to declare victory and go home. And some of them are so fanatic, like, for example, Congressman Benny Thompson, Democrat, Mississippi, was on the J6, the notorious J6 committee, introduced legislation to strip people convicted of felonies, meaning Trump. It's essentially a bill of attainder that's carefully concealed, you know, to not look like a bill of attainder in a way. To strip him of his Secret Service protection. So, you know, the other side, I don't think it's exaggerating to say the other side wouldn't mind if he were to die. Like, look at how the Biden administration has denied RFK Jr. Secret Service protection. And I am, you know, personally not a fan of – I like how he's spoken truth to power on a lot of things, but, I'm not really a fan of his, but – My God, you know, the guy's father is a hero to a lot of Americans, and he was assassinated while running for the presidency and the Democratic nomination, the presidency in 1968. And to deny his son, one of the storied Kennedys, Secret Service protection strikes me as absurd and grotesque. But they're willing to do it because the left doesn't like it when someone threatens their power.
Well, see, and that's the thing that, you know, we look at speaking of the left in power. The story is now out, and I'm sure you're familiar with it because I caught wind of it in the Epoch Times, that the Democrats are now trying to get an ethics committee set up for the Supreme Court. Can you give us a little bit of insight as to why that won't work?
Well, I think that if it went before – the issue went before the Supreme Court, because Supreme Court can't recuse itself from decisions, like as a body, from deciding things that affect the Supreme Court It's the ultimate court of appeal, and it has to take the case. I think it would strike it down. But along the way, the whole idea, you know, behind our Constitution is that there's a separation of powers, that the three branches, I think it's a myth that they're co-equal. I don't think they're supposed to be co-equal, but they are separate and independent of each other. And they are, with separation of powers, the one branch isn't supposed to start dictating to another branch. And it really hinders the independence of the judiciary to put some sort of a congressional monitor or some sort of a panel or body in place. And it's not that different from legislation that the Senate Judiciary Committee passed, advanced by Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat, Rhode Island, that would create a panel of lower court judges, you know, circuit court judges and federal district court judges or what have you, that would stand in judgment of conflicts of interest and various things, complaints. It would allow people, you know, ordinary, you know, Joes to file complaints about Supreme Court justices. And I think the intent is because the Supreme Court is not perceived to be liberal at the moment, they want to do everything they can to bog it down and to prevent it from operating. You know, and then if they get power again and the liberals control the Supreme Court, then of course these regulations would all go away. But, you know, because that's the way they work. But I'd say that from what sources I've spoken to, it's blatantly unconstitutional and they can't do it. But that won't stop them from trying. And you know, it definitely, the latest proposal that you mentioned supports to create some sort of a body or a monitor, you know, for Supreme Court ethics. It won't pass the House.
I mean, they're targeting Alito. I mean, that's it, because his wife decided she was going to hang a flag upside down. And of course, that just goes against the entire left wing ideology. You can't do that. And it's like, look, happy wife, happy life. I'm married to her. I didn't tell her to put it up. I'm not going to make any more excuses for you.
Right.
And I'm not making excuses for her.
Upside down flag has been hanging flags upside down since at least the 1960s.
Yeah.
As a protest. You know, the American Indian movement and all sorts of hippies and so on have been doing that for a long time. But when, you know, a conservative justice's wife does it, then all hell breaks loose. And it's not even clear that it was a protest of what was going on January 6, 2021. It was some kind of a response to a local dispute, a heated dispute between neighbors. You know, who didn't like that a conservative justice, you know, lived in their neighborhood and wanted to make him and his family feel uncomfortable. So, you know, and then there's Alito's flag at his summer cottage, at his summer house, where the appeal to heaven flag, you know, that's from the Revolutionary War era. That'd be the same as flying a "Don't Tread on Me" flag, you know, with the coiled snake ready to strike on the yellow background. That's another Revolutionary era flag called the Gadsden flag. And I remember when the Tea Party was emerging, lefties said that the "Don't Tread on Me" was racist and that it was, you know, a symbol of the Tea Party and so on. Well, no, it's an American symbol that from Revolutionary time, the original Revolutionary period. You know, that people would rally around to rally under to make a point. So, you know, appeal to heaven. That I heard that this is Christian nationalism. You know, this is ridiculous. This is a flag that George Washington supposedly flew and admired and liked. And it's just it's much ado out of nothing. They're just grasping at straws, and they are desperate to put the heat on. But, you know, this pressure, even if it doesn't get Alito to recuse, because he said he's not going to recuse from January 6th or the Trump immunity cases before the Supreme Court. I think those are the two big cases that Democrats are worried about right now. He said he will not recuse, and he wasn't intimidated. But that doesn't mean that Justice Alito isn't going to be, you know, second guessing himself in the future, because he knows that everything he does is being watched carefully, and it can't be fun to always being besieged by angry mobs at your house and hounded by the media. So
I don't think it's right.
I think he's a tough guy, and we know Clarence Thomas is very tough. And after all the crap that Clarence Thomas went through to get nominated, he's never going to retire unless he's crippled or something. He's going to die. They're going to take him out of the Supreme Court in a pine box. He went through so much garbage to get on the Supreme Court. He's never going to leave, and nor should he. No. But you know, if I went through that kind of crap, I wouldn't go.
Well, I mean, didn't she?
Screw you! I'm dying. I'm dying with my black robes on.
It didn't Chief Justice John Roberts, didn't he respond with some sort of letter saying, look, if these guys got 2 feet and a heartbeat, they're on the panel. End of story. You have no control over these people. They have an obligation to sit on this court and make decisions unless, you know, God forbid they're in the hospital and they can't, or whatever the case may be. Right. You know, I mean, this is pretty much what he said, wasn't it?
I thought it was Justice Alito who, in his letter, he wrote a letter.
Well,
to
he did,
the New
but
York
I heard
Times.
Roberts said something about it too.
I don't remember Roberts saying it, but I know Alito said that there is a duty to sit. Okay, you've only got 9 Supreme Court justices, so whenever one sits something out, that causes a potential problem, and it could cause a tie, and it interrupts the court's business. And the Supreme Court's business is pretty important to the functioning of America. So there is something called the duty to sit. And if he is, as long as he's able to sit there and hear cases, he's going to do that. I would not be surprised to learn that Chief Justice Roberts had also said that. Because that's what they do. They don't recuse themselves unless they have a very good reason, conflict of interest, like they know the people personally, or Alito has a lot of investments in the stock market. So you see him, he doesn't recuse himself a lot, but every once in a while, when a case that affects, I guess, his investment portfolio comes up, he will recuse himself, which is good, and that's what he's supposed to do if he has a direct stake in the outcome of a case.
Right. Have you been monitoring, and this is another thing that all the people that are Trump supporters are wondering, since you worked the Supreme Court beat, have you been monitoring anything as far as reactions or intimations or anything coming out of the highest court that indicate how because the media is out there like, oh yeah, there's going to be a partial immunity for Trump on all of this stuff with the classified documents and whatnot. You know, Judge Cannon is now entertaining outside parties' ability to submit amicus briefs and whatnot. And I'm just wondering, what have you heard on Capitol Hill? What's the latest there, or at the nation's highest court, about this partial immunity? Where would that lie?
Well, yeah, I don't know what they're thinking about it on Capitol Hill, but I know the thinking among lawyers and people who follow the court and people that I look, you know, legal experts whom I have interviewed, is that his Trump immunity is pretty well a slam dunk, and that they're going to rule that Trump has immunity, but for his official acts. Okay, so the question for official acts performed as president. So the question is, what are official acts? What did he do, for example, on January 6, 2021? When was he acting as president, and when was he just acting as a private person or as a candidate for office or what have you? And so I think the Supreme Court is going to say uphold presidential immunity for official acts performed while he was president. And then I don't know what kind of guidance they would provide to the lower courts, or if it would just be a free-for-all and they'd let the lower courts decide what constitutes official acts. But I think the Supreme Court is – my guess is the Supreme Court is going to give it to Trump. They're going to let him. They're going to say that he has immunity, and that strikes me as the right decision, because otherwise you're just going to totally cripple the president, and presidents will be second guessing. President's supposed to be a decisive, powerful figure, right? Maybe not as powerful as he's grown to be today with the administrative state and the welfare state and the national security state and all these other ways of characterizing, big government in the United States. But the president's supposed to be a decisive figure who can get things done, especially in times of emergency. And so and wars and things like that. And if you have him always, looking over his shoulder, That's not a good thing. So, as long as the acts are official, I think the Supreme Court is going to say that they are protected by presidential immunity, that doctrine under the Constitution.
Right. So that the bigger thing too is also, Matt, that this issue with Judge Cannon allowing people to come in and file briefs and brief the court, her court, on the legality of Jack Smith being in there. The court system and the entire perspective, because a lot of this, you know, I mean, one of the cases is going on in Florida, which is her case. The other one is right. going on with Tanya Chutkan in D.C. And what the Supreme Court is going to decide pretty much is going to affect both of these cases, will it not? As well as Jack Smith and whether or not he gets to play
the federal case in Florida is about the documents at Mar-a-Lago, right? It's about the presidential documents.
And the other one, J6, and what he did and what
J6,
he knew.
That's a different case, though immunity could have to do with it. There's another case that's pending. The Supreme Court is deliberating right now, and I know they're going to leave it right till the end in June. They love to do that. They released a whole bunch of rounded decisions today, but there's three cases nobody's ever heard of. So three opinions, cases that were not headline grabbers, to say the least, obscure kind of stuff like healthcare funding for Indian tribes, they decided today. But they're going to leave it till the end. The J6 case is about Joseph Fisher. He's a retired former police officer from Pennsylvania who came down to the January 6th protests at the U.S. Capitol. The record shows that he entered the Capitol for 4 minutes. He apparently didn't riot, although the government claims that he pushed some police officers. He denies that. His lawyers deny that, say it's not true. And the issue there is whether the Sarbanes-Oxley, Section 1512 of Sarbanes-Oxley, a federal, you know, Wall Street accounting reform statute, applies to interfering with an official proceeding. And this is what a lot of these people have been charged with. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, lots of people are in prison for interfering with an official proceeding. Now, this has been challenged to saying this was not – he's not guilty. This was not the proper statute to proceed under. You know, you should have proceeded under in a more conventional way, you know. You could have written a trespassing ticket, right? You could have done all sorts of things.
Yeah, but I mean,
instead they wanted to go heavy, and so they went under 1512 of Sarbanes-Oxley, interfering with an official proceeding. But what's interfering with an official proceeding? Every time Code Pink and Medea Benjamin stand up and start shouting, you know, no blood for oil at an Armed Services Committee hearing, that's interfering with an official proceeding, in my mind. And yet they don't, you know, they get arrested and usually not charged with anything. But at worst, you know, they got charged with like trespassing or causing a disturbance or disorderly conduct or something really minor like that, if it's even a misdemeanor. So the thinking is that this case, the Fisher case, Fisher versus United States, I think it's called, is that the Supreme Court is probably going to rule in favor of Fisher, at least. You can never tell with Supreme Court justices. Sometimes they're, you know, they like to play the devil's advocate, and they ask questions in order to flesh out answers and to sharpen so that there's a sharp clash of arguments, helps them decide their cases. But they seem pretty determined. They seem pretty against the government's position. They seem to think that this was the wrong statute to proceed under and that the government was being very heavy-handed with J6 defendants, and so you may have a lot of J6 cases thrown out if the Supreme Court rules in their favor, in former officer Fisher's favor, and you may have some people in prison maybe get released or have to go back to court and maybe be retried. I don't know exactly how it would work. It's a bit complicated, and I'm not a lawyer. But the people in prison and the people charged on January 6th, some of them will be affected by this for sure, and some of them may be allowed to go free as a result of the Supreme Court's decision if they rule in the expected way.
Right. Now, wasn't Trump charged with the same thing?
Yes.
He was charged with 1512C,
yes,
which is obstruction.
That. That's right. That's one of the things that he is charged with in the, and that's in the one of the, there's the two, I guess, election subversion trials. The one is in Fulton County, Georgia, and that appears to have been stayed by an appellate, a state appellate court in Georgia. So that's not going anywhere, at least for the time being. And the other election subversion case is also stayed. That's Judge Chutkan's case before the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia in Washington, D.C. So that's also stayed for the time being, too. So that could affect both of those cases. So Trump could get off of that, those two charges, maybe, because of that.
Yeah, and you think they'll wait till the end of June, the end of this month, to make those rulings?
They like to pack all the excitement into like the final 2 weeks of June. That's their habit.
Well, we'll keep an eye on them. Matt Badum, thank you so much from the Epoch Times for joining us for this segment. Yeah. Folks, we're out of time for today. We will be back with our Friday edition of the Power Hour tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. See you.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the OregaResp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.